Amen, amen. Blessings to you all. Beautiful Sunday morning here in Northeast Ohio. All y'all doing good? Everybody good? Everybody good? If you would, go ahead and grab a Bible. Turn to Isaiah 59. That's where we're going to be this morning. Or turn on your smart device, whatever you may use to engage Scripture with, and go ahead and find Isaiah 59. And as you're turning, I'm going to offer this prayer for us. Open, Lord, my eyes that I may see. Open, Lord, my ears that I may hear. Open, Lord, my heart and my mind so that I may understand. And so shall I turn to you and be healed. And all who agree, say with me, amen. Amen. I'm going to begin our time in the Word this morning with a fundamental truth about Christianity. Light is more powerful than darkness. That is a fundamental truth about the Christian faith. That is a fundamental truth about the Christian religion. Light is more powerful than darkness. But it's not just any kind of light that can overcome darkness. It's not simply some fun, engaging Facebook, Instagram, Hallmark image that is used, type of light language, or something very similar that we receive and we get all the feels from. We've seen those images on Facebook, Instagram, or Hallmark, whatever it may be. We've seen those light images where it's all cute and it's all fuzzy and it's all warm and we get the feels from it and then we move on. Christianity, the truth, the fundamental truth that we believe that light is more powerful than darkness, is more than just the feels. It's more than just the warm fuzzies. It's bigger than that. It's deeper than that. And it's not just any kind of light that can overcome darkness. It's God's light. And it's unashamedly professed by followers of Jesus. It is the light that comes from Jesus. No other source, no other way. Jesus alone. John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. In Him, talking about Jesus, in Jesus was, is, and always will be life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness. And the darkness has not overcome it. And a fundamental truth about the Christian religion, about the Christian faith, is that we believe this. We believe that light can overcome darkness. But it's God's light. No other light can do it. It is the light that comes from Jesus, period. Nothing else, no one else can overcome darkness. Jesus and Jesus alone. Even the slightest glimmer can open a path that leads to powerful statements like our main text is for this week for VBS. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, that's the main verse. That is the grand slam verse that our kids and adults are going to hear each and every single day this week. But there's also a verse 2 that goes along with it. So Isaiah 60, verses 1 and 2. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth. And thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and His glory appears over you. Powerful words, right? Powerful words when we allow them to sink into our minds and our hearts, when we allow our God-given imagination to use these words to shape us, to transform us, and to move us. But there's always a before when you get to some of these passages, especially like chapter changes, like chapter transitions, especially in the prophets. There's always something preceding. And that we're going to spend our time this morning in the preceding. In Isaiah 59, there is this beautiful buildup that goes all the way back to Isaiah 56. And this morning we don't have time to do 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, even though that'd be fun. We don't have time to do that this morning. So we're going to focus on Isaiah 59. But before we get to that, how many of you remember the movie Woodlawn? Any of you remember the movie? It's okay to raise your hands. You've already been amen and all service. That's good stuff. Clapping. Yeah, if you remember the movie Woodlawn. Powerful, powerful movie. Came out in 2015 based on true events. And I think that's what gets me personally more than anything else when it comes to Christian entertainment with Christian movies. If it's based on true events, like that's going to get my attention. And Woodlawn is based on true events that took place in Birmingham, Alabama in the 70s, 1970s, not 70s, where in the 1970s, racial tension and violence was extremely high. And the government was going to fix it. The government was going to make it right. And as you pay attention to the movie, and as those of you who are history buffs and history nerds, you pay attention over and over again. When government gets involved, it doesn't always end up being the way the government thought it was going to be. And it's the same thing here. Some of the snippets that the movie shows about the government's involvement, and in fact, it was making it much worse than what it already was, as they try to force something that only love can allow to happen and take place. It was not light from the government that made an impact on the school and on the coaches and on the players that made a difference, and on the community, if you remember the movie. It was another type of light that made an impact, that did something significant, and that was long-lasting. And here we're going to watch one video clip of one example of what occurred when the light began to move in the head coach of the football team. Empress, play.
I wanted to come here today because five of my players are here. Five of my players that have been mistreated time and again by their school and by their teammates. And I have not done enough to stop it. Now, at the beginning of this season, my team, almost my entire team, they gave themselves to love. A love that I didn't understand. A love that began to conquer hatred. And after the game on Friday, I went home and I prayed. Not that I really know how to do that. But I told God that I don't know if you're real. But I want whatever my players have. I came here today because I believe. I believe, and I want to be baptized.
And the Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in the newness of life.
Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door.
One quick shameless plug about Faith at Home. Do you guys see at the end what the son was doing? Watching his daddy, right? Dads and moms, pay attention to that. Not just some random clip from a movie, but an impact takes place when mom and dads make decisions of faith. Isaiah 59 drew me to Woodlawn, to the story. And if you pay attention to the cultural context that was going on in the 70s, 60s, we're not any different in 2020. Yeah, we have more technology. But the cultural context, it's so similar. When we go about different ways of trying to force light, we're only the light of Jesus. Fix and make right and make whole. And that's a part of a VBS this week. Isaiah 60 verse 1, arise, shine, for God's light is now upon you. So I invite you to read and to follow along with me in Isaiah 59. I won't give much commentary, though I'll give a little. But I want you to hear the word of the Lord this morning from Isaiah 59. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. For your hands are stained with blood, your fingers with guilt. Your lips have spoken falsely, and your tongue mutters wicked things. No one calls for justice. No one pleads their case with integrity. They rely on empty arguments. They utter lies. They conceive trouble and give birth to evil. They hatch the eggs of vipers and spin a spider's web. Whoever eats their eggs will die. And when one is broken, an adder is hatched. Their cobwebs are useless for clothing. They cannot cover themselves with what they make. Their deeds are evil deeds, and acts of violence are in their hands. Their feet rush into sin. They are swift to shed innocent blood. They pursue evil schemes. Acts of violence mark their ways. The way of peace they do not know. There is no justice in their paths. They have turned them into crooked roads. No one who walks along them will know peace. So, justice is far from us, and righteousness does not reach us. We look for light, but all is darkness. For brightness, but we all walk in deep shadows. Like the blind, we grope along the wall, feeling our way like people without eyes. At midday, we stumble as if it were twilight. Among the strong, we are like the dead. We all growl like bears. We moan mournfully like doves. We look for justice, but we find none. For deliverance, but it is far away. For our offenses are many in your sight, and our sins testify against us. Our offenses are ever with us, and we acknowledge our iniquities, rebellion, treachery against the Lord, turning our backs on our God, inciting revolt and oppression, uttering lies our hearts have conceived. So justice is driven back, and righteousness stands at a distance. Truth has stumbled in the streets. Honesty cannot enter. Truth is nowhere to be found. And whoever shuns evil becomes prey. And the Lord looked and was displeased that there was no justice. He saw there was no one. He was appalled that there was no one to intervene. So his own arm achieved salvation for him. His own righteousness sustained him. He put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance and wrapped himself in zeal as in a cloak. According to what they have done, so will he repay wrath to his enemies and retribution to his foes, for he will repay the islands their due. From the west, people will fear the name of the Lord. And from the rising of the sun, they will revere his glory. For he will come like a pent-up flood that the breath of the Lord drives along. The Redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who repent of their sins, declares the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My Spirit who is on you, and my words that I have put in your mouth, will not depart from your mouth, or from the mouths of your children, or from the mouths of their descendants, from this time on and forevermore, says the Lord. And then Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. I hope you guys notice the switches in tones. The switches from second person plural to third person plural to first person plural, picking up in verse 9. I hope you were able to hear and to journey and to allow your imagination, to allow God's word to capture your imagination, to draw you in to what Isaiah is calling out of God's people, but also the haunting ways in which Isaiah 59 still speaks to us today. You don't necessarily need a preacher to tell you what those specific things are. Allow God's Spirit that's in you to reveal that to you. There is depravity in this chapter. There is no doubt about it. When you look at verses 2 through 8, the depravity there, they're intended to be self-reflective and communal reflective. What we see and what we hear are prophetic judgments upon God's people for a lack of care and understanding to who they are as God's people and their calling, their vocation as God's people. The language here is confessional ownership. And I invite you to reread chapter 59 today on your own. And I hope you hear it. It's confessional ownership. It is paying attention to the ways in which we have neglected our identity as God's people and our vocation, our calling as God's people. And we are owning it before you, God. Confessional ownership. All the time with this intro statement in 59 verse 1 that cannot be ignored nor forgotten throughout the entire journey of the chapter. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But this is what God's people must own about themselves, about their behavior, about what they have neglected to be about. But God can do something with it. Own it. Accept it. Quit fighting. Quit arguing your way around it. Own it. And watch what God will do with your confessional ownership. But the results, the consequences of all that has taken place that go down from verse 2 all the way through verse 8, leads to language of confessional desperation. Again, I invite you to read chapter 59 and to hear it again. Confessional desperation. And it pauses at the end with verse 9. And verse 15 shows up with an image and description of God that is intended to do something to its hearers. Truth is nowhere to be found. And whoever shuns evil becomes a prey. What Isaiah has said is in the midst where truth is confused and truth is blurred and truth is whatever we want truth to be because we live in a postmodern world and truth is whatever my feelings or my emotions or whatever my needs need truth to be. This ancient text of over 2,800 years ago seems to speak very clearly to our 21st century context. Truth is nowhere to be found. And whoever shuns evil, whoever speaks up, guess what happens to them? What happens? They become its prey. In other words, they become canceled. I think we know a little bit about that. It's amazing how clearly Isaiah 59 speaks to us if we allow it. And the Lord looked, and he was displeased that there was no justice. The Lord looks. The Lord pays attention. The Lord is attentive to what goes on here. Not passive, but very much involved. So involved that he decides to do something. I hope you guys, beginning in verse 16, I hope you heard a little bit of Ephesians 6. I hope you heard a little bit of what Paul talks about there in Ephesians 6. You now know where Paul kind of got it from. The helmet, breastplate, all those images that are used there in Isaiah, in Ephesians 6, right here in Isaiah 59. What we have here, after, mind you, after there is confessional ownership, after there is confessional desperation, what we have here is God stepping in with a covenantal rescue with an image of a conquering warrior. Hear these words again. The Lord saw that there was no one. He was appalled that there was no one to intervene. So his own arm reached out. His own arm achieved salvation for him, and his own righteousness sustained him. He himself put on righteousness as a breastplate and the helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance and wrapped himself in zeal as in a cloak. According to what they have done, so he will repay wrath to his enemies and retribution to his foes. He will repay the islands their due. From the west, people will fear the name of the Lord, and from the rising of the sun, they will revere his glory. For he will come like a pent-up flood that the breath of the Lord drives along. The Redeemer, the Conqueror, the Redeemer will come to Zion. To those in Jacob who repent of their sins, declares the Lord. The Lord here is portrayed as one who steps in and does for his people and by extension all of humanity what we could not do, nor ever will we be able to do on our own. And no one else, mind you, for us, will be able to do it. His justice and mercy calls for a destruction to sin and all evil and damage that sin brings about. But there has to be confessional ownership of sin for any of these things to take place. There has to be confessional desperation. And then what we see is we see a covenantal rescue. We see a conquering warrior come in to do what only the conquering warrior can do. For sin and for evil. Light overcoming darkness. Only God can take care of that. Only Jesus can take care of that. All of this leads to the goal, to the telos, to the end result, to the direction with which all of it is going. God's covenantal promise in verse 21. As for me, this is the Lord speaking, first person. As for me, this is my covenant with them, with us ends, says the Lord. My spirit who is on you and my words that I have put in your mouth will not depart from your mouth or from the mouths of your children or from the mouths of their descendants from this time on and forevermore, says the Lord. Church, do you believe Isaiah 59:21? Believe these words from the Lord. God's telos, God's goal for His people is for us to be witnesses to the world of His nature and character. His nature and character. That He is the only true way to justice. The only true way to righteousness. The only true way to love. The only true way to joy, to true hope, to true trust. Can only be known and experienced in our minds, in our hut, in our hearts, in our gut, in our souls, are in Jesus. No other way. The church that lives and moves and goes about in the 21st century, we have to reclaim that. Unashamedly. No other way. Jesus and Jesus alone. Jesus says something truly genius in the Sermon on the Mount when it talks about light. He says in Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16, about usins, about y'allins. Y'all are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do we light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, we put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, Jesus challenges us. Let y'all's light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus is echoing out of Isaiah. Specifically, Isaiah 42, verses 6 and 7. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles. See God's involvement here? To open the eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, to release from the dungeon, those who sit in darkness. Jesus embraced this mission and showed us what it always meant and what it always means. And then in his Sermon on the Mount, he looks at them and he says, y'all are the light of the world. Go and do as I have laid the path for you to go and do. Israel had this mission. Jesus embodied and lived out this mission, doing and showing for Israel what they could not do for themselves, and inviting His church to believe and to embody this for themselves. Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is offering His followers, do you believe this? I believe this about you. Do you believe this about yourselves? You can go and be a light to the world. Shine my light to the world. But you can do this. Do you believe it? I believe that it can still look and it can still be. But it may just look something like this. Go ahead and press play.
I just want to thank Coach Gerald and his team for putting this together. Thank you, Coach. Will you look at this? I mean, take a look around. Can you believe it? This is what happens when God shows up. Now, a couple years back, I went to this thing called the Explo 72 in Dallas. I joined 100,000 other people, just like us. Up until that point in my life, I guess I kind of felt insignificant. I felt like my life doesn't matter. On the last night of the week, there in the big Cotton Bowl, they shut off the lights. But in that darkness, Reverend Graham lit a candle, a single candle. I was standing in the very back of the stadium. But I could see that light. And I realized that my life is not insignificant. My life matters. One light became two, and two became 10, and 10 became 100,000. Well, people in Dallas started calling the fire department and the police department, saying the Cotton Bowl's on fire. You know what? They were right. 100,000 candles burning as one. Time magazine said that the Jesus Revolution, that's what they called us, has a symbol. This is our symbol. Because there is one way. Gathered here united tonight because of the name of our teams or of our schools, but because of the name above all names, Jesus. Jesus. One person alone in the dark, willing to speak the truth when it's not popular. One person willing to speak the truth when it is not safe. When there is much at stake. Look around you. We're not alone. This is what happens when God shows up.
Yeah, no doubt. Whatever you say, Samwise Gamgee, I will do. This week at VBS, we are inviting kids and adults to take seriously the invitation of Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, your light has come. The Lord's glory has shone upon. I'm going to share that light with the world. Jared Rice team, you guys can come on up. I'm going to close our service this morning with another statement from Jesus in John chapter 8, verse 12. And then we're going to have an invitation song where the invitation is offered to anyone here this morning. If you would like to receive prayer from your church family, please come down and see me. I will be to your left, my right. If you would like a more private setting where our shepherds can listen and pray with you, our prayer room is always open to receive those who would like that type of setting. If you would like to learn more about who this Jesus person is and how he has made such an impact upon the world, ministry staff here and elders would love to talk with you about this Jesus who has and is still changing people's lives. You would like to know what baptism is all about. We'd love to have that conversation with you. But I will close and I will pass the baton off to the Arise team with this statement from Jesus in John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Period. Let's stand, let's worship together.